From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The Alaska House of Representatives on Monday passed an operating budget without funds the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner says are needed to sustain a hatchery in Fairbanks. As reported by KUAC's Patrick Gilchrist, in a March letter to House Finance Committee co-chairs, Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang said the Division of Sport Fish was facing a $2.2 million gap in the draft budget. He said that's the result of a House subcommittee's move to reduce state funding for department-run hatcheries and increase the use of federal dollars by the same amount. The commissioner said in the letter, those federal funds are already allocated or planned for other things. The letter says that leaves a gap that would require $2.2 million in cuts to the hatcheries in Anchorage and Fairbanks. And the commissioner wrote that the department determined closing the Ruth Burnett Hatchery in Fairbanks would be the, quote, necessary path forward, end quote. Glen Allen Republican Representative Rebecca Schwanke brought forward an amendment last week to reinstate the funds. She says it's important to keep both the facilities up and running.
These particular hatcheries supply several different species of fish. We have lake trout, we have rainbows, coho, chinook, arctic char. These are incredibly important hatcheries all across the state of Alaska for many different reasons.
The amendment failed in a vote that fell along caucus lines, with all 19 members of the Republican minority voting yes, and the 21 members of the bipartisan majority opposed. Representative Ashley Carrick, a Fairbanks Democrat, voiced support for the hatchery, but she said she had too many unanswered questions about the funding source issues to support the amendment. Carrick says she wished they had more time to consider it than was possible on the House floor, and that lawmakers should, quote, keep a thumb on the pulse of this issue, close quote.
If this amendment is what is needed to ensure the Fairbanks hatchery is open, or if some version of it is what is needed, then that should happen at some point in this budget process.
The budget approved by the House on Monday isn't final. Its next stop is the Alaska Senate. The legislative session is set to conclude in May.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Alaska House of Representatives in early April advanced a bill to establish cooperatives for salmon set netters, which would allow co-mingling of fish between permit holders. The Alaska Beacon reports that since territorial days, multiple permit holders, often from the same family, have stored and delivered their salmon together. But current state statute and regulations suggest that individual permit holders need to store and deliver their salmon separately. Representative Louise Stutes, a Kodiak Republican, said those rules are impractical and unsafe, largely because permit holders are often elderly or children, and set netting routinely involves fishing in skiffs in rough water in remote areas. If it is passed, the legislation would allow for set netting cooperatives, and the Alaska Board of Fisheries would be directed to issue regulations on the maximum number of permit holders allowed in each cooperative. The Alaska House unanimously approved the bill. It has now headed to the Senate. The Aleutians East Borough and three other groups are suing the Alaska Board of Fisheries. As reported by KUCB's Maggie Nelson, a complaint filed on April 3rd says the borough, the native village of Unga, and two Aleutian fishing groups want to void fishing regulations adopted at a February board meeting. The lawsuit is asking the court to overturn five regulations for the Alaska Peninsula commercial salmon fishery known as Area M. The fishery has been at the center of a decades-long debate about salmon returns in western Alaska. The recent restrictions adopted for the fishery are a part of an effort to reduce the interception of chum salmon headed for the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers, where salmon returns have reached crisis lows. But the plaintiffs claim the restrictions would encourage derby-style competition, increasing chum and Chinook harvests in the commercial fishery, which they say is the opposite of the board's stated conservation goal. The changes would also undermine local economies, they say. The lawsuit says the state board failed to consider important evidence, violated administrative laws, and mishandled conflicts of interest while adopting the new regulations. According to a press release from the Aleutians East Borough, the groups raised concerns prior to the Board of Fish meeting. Six federally recognized tribes then formally expressed their concerns to the board, filing a complaint with the State Attorney General's office in late February. The plaintiffs are asking a Superior Court judge to put a preliminary block on the regulations, then void them and permanently prohibit their enforcement. An Arizona-based conservation group has filed a lawsuit against federal fisheries managers over catch limits in the Bering Sea pollock fishery. The Alaska Beacon reports that the Center for Biological Diversity filed its lawsuit in the U.S. District Court of Alaska earlier this month. The group argues that the fisheries arm of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration did not adequately protect northern fur seals in the Bering Sea in its management plan for the fishery. At issue is the fur seal population on St. Paul Island, which is home to nursing females that rely on pollock to feed their pups. The Center for Biological Diversity cites a 70% decrease in the St. Paul fur seal population since the 1970s in its lawsuit.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The first of three vessels in a pilot program to hybridize commercial fishing boats in Alaska was christened in Sitka this month. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski did the honors. KCAW's Ryan Cotter attended the event to see how the new engine has impacted the FV Mirage, as well as the potential for more commercial fishing vessels across the state.
It even smells new.
Yeah.
You got the new car smell.
Absolutely. So we have in white between, in the middle here is our new engine, a remanufactured engine from Cummins.
Okay.
Which is a direct replacement of the original.
And did you have to
crouched down in the engine room of the 50-foot vessel, Ben Mathias is showcasing the completed hybrid engine to Senator Lisa Murkowski. He's the lead technician who joined the project 4 years ago. The project was funded by a grant from the U.S. Department of Energy as part of a pilot program to make commercial engines cheaper and more environmentally friendly. In the engine room, Mathias explains the different components and Murkowski follows up.
Do you have to worry about excess heat generation?
Yep, that's why those fans are running. And they don't need to be running now, but during our first trip, they overheated.
Right.
the just because of the amount of
question. There's no way to get cooler air in.
So on most engine rooms, there's an intake that just passively.
Sitka fisherman Jeff Turner owns the boat. After hearing about the grant, Turner was quick to volunteer his boat for the project. Yet on the two trips Turner took with the new engine prior to Murkowski's visit, a third benefit was revealed.
And the noise pollution is something I really notice. A quiet boat is fatigue-free. I mean, you talk in a normal voice, you don't have to yell across the deck.
No, that's transformational. That would be being on a boat.
Yeah. Quit yelling at me!
I'm not!
The team behind the hybrid engine plans to continue collecting data from the Mirage throughout the summer fishing season, logging the data in a publicly available document. That way, fishermen can decide whether they'd like to install a hybrid engine as well. Another boat from Juneau is already lined up to be the second boat to have the hybrid engine installed. Additionally, with concerns over outmigration and fewer young people staying in Alaska, the hybrid engine offers professional opportunities that could help retain and attract working-age people in the state. Chandler Kemp, the project's engineer, believes that their partnership with locals in developing the engine is a promising example for future developers.
And so it's not a case where we've kind of hired a contractor to come in and build the project and then leave. Instead, we've like invested locally to support people that want to do this type of work and now have the expertise to do it more independently.
But the promise for professional development is not without its obstacles. Here's Linda Benkin, Executive Director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association.
There isn't anybody in this country yet making these systems. There is a electric outboard maker that we want to use on a mariculture boat, but there isn't anybody certifying batteries, marine certified batteries in this country yet, or building these systems. So
batteries for electric vehicles are already proving a problem to transport. Alaska Marine Lines no longer ships electric vehicles to the state, and the ferry system highly restricts them. Murkowski says it needs to be addressed for the technology to move forward.
The whole discussion about how you move an electric vehicle to Alaska, we can't put them on these container ships anymore because of the danger of the fire. So we're going to have to figure this one out quick.
Totally.
But for now, it's time to celebrate a success.
Champagne? Yeah. Okay. You went for a non-alcoholic?
I'm like the mini media. Like this thing I'm super right-handed.
Come on, Lisa, give it all you got.
You don't understand.
Murkowski is joined by over 20 attendees gathering around the Mirage at the Gary Paxton Industrial Park dock. Murkowski, Turner, and Benkin take a spot at the bow of the ship. It's christening time.
All right. Are you ready?
No, go for it.
Are you ready?
Murkowski successfully smashes a champagne bottle over the bow. That's followed by a toast in honor of what has been accomplished so far and what the hybrid engine could mean for fishermen across Alaska and the rest of the country.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Bottoms up.
In Sitka, I'm Ryan Cotter.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.